Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Good to have the Major Billy Downer back with us for the first time here in 2020. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you. Hope you had great holidays.
Happy New Year to you. Great hunting days. Absolutely.
Terrific.
Last couple days, deer season, had a lot of fun. Did a little duck hunting with the family, with the kids. My son and my daughter had some fun in the swamp a little bit, so we had a good holiday.
888-898-2525. Lines are open if you want to get through to Major Downer to talk about anything related to hunting, fishing, archery, anything in the great outdoors in South Carolina. He is here to take your questions and answer any concerns that you might have about policies, laws, or just how to do things. To kick things off, though, I saw the story last week about the tragedy in hunting down in the Walterboro area. What do you know about that story where two people were shot?
Absolutely. So that's been widely publicized. The news has published that father and daughter were tragically killed in a hunting incident.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime someone loses their life when they are engaged in hunting, which is supposed to be a recreational fun activity, it's a terrible day. No doubt about it. Not going to put a whole lot of emphasis on that tonight, but I will say, you know, obviously the news has reported that they were mistaken for game. We've talked about it here, that mistaken for game incidents is the leading cause for hunting accidents across the country. So in this case, one of the things that we're trying to do from this, of course, you know, nothing can replace the loss of a husband, a child, no doubt about it. Certainly mourn for that family. Terrible tragedy for sure. But from that, just talking about the things we talk about on the show, we talk about in hunter education constantly, the things that we're emphasizing, again, that we teach all the time, you know, make sure that you identify what you're shooting at. Identify the game. Know the identifying features of the game you hunt. Make sure you know what you're shooting before you pull the trigger, because when you pull the trigger, you can't make that bullet come back. We always talk about wearing hunter orange. In this state, we don't require it on private land. But just because we don't require it, it's always a good idea, because hunter orange is a color that is just not natural and it sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a Clemson fan to wear orange all the time. Although right now is probably a pretty good time to be a Clemson fan.
Yeah.
Not to get on that note. But
right.
Hunter orange is an unnatural color. It's something that we encourage folks to wear, at least a hat. If you're hunting, particularly if you're doing driving where you're closer to other hunters and things, and there's a lot of movement of game, wear something that will make you stand out. So, you know, that's just the things that we're reminding folks now. You know, we always remind folks in our
sure.
classes.
Uh-huh.
And this is just something that makes us, you know, I hate these kind of scenarios. Watch this kind of, these types of incidents come across my desk in hunter education every year, you know, not like this. But certainly we have accidents and we have incidents where people have lost their life in hunting. And there's just it just seems senseless when you've gone out there to have a good time and you have something happen, it can be prevented.
Explain to me in this case what I read in the newspaper about they were running the deer. Saying that right?
No,
running the deer across the road or something?
No, this is like it would be a dog drive or either a man drive where they're driving deer, they're pushing deer.
Pushing deer.
Mm-hmm. Either on a, you know, in this state, you know, dog hunting has been a part of the state for a long time. So, folks will drop dogs, put them in the woods, and the dogs will push the deer out of the woods. And the men will surround that block of woods, and the dogs push the deer out. Or a man drive where you walk from one side to the other, and they push men walk from one side, push deer to the other side where standards are. So,
mm-hmm.
that's what you call when you say driving deer.
Okay. Yeah, very sad story. Don't want to hear about anything else like that this year in the great outdoors in South Carolina. 888-898-2525. I know you got some things that you want to talk about, so we'll get to those in a moment. But we have Alex in Murrells Inlet who wants to join you, has a question about hunting, fishing here in South Carolina. Alex, welcome in to SC Wild tonight with Major Billy Downer.
Thank you. I have so many. I've called before, but so many questions. But you know, I'm not going to actually ask a question tonight. I just want to say a public service announcement that this is by far this segment with Major Billy Downer as a captain is my favorite segment of anything I do in media, listening to anything with radio or television.
We certainly appreciate the props. Thank you so much. It's good to know the information we're giving is at least worthwhile to somebody out there.
Well, it really is. I grew up from Fall Beach surfing and all that. And later, you know, in college, I started doing some dove hunting. But you know what? And I'm not going to talk politics on this show, but the hunters and fisher people, men I've been around, they care for the environment. They're good people, and hunting and fishing is just a wonderful sport. And if there's anybody who cares about the environment, it's hunters and fishermen. And last night I was watching a show, Full Metal Jacket, you know, and maybe another movie, or I listen to politics, and not too much, but this, your segment, and I turn off my radio and don't even listen to anything, but this is my favorite segment. And thank you for your service for, you know, hunting and fishing. All right, I'll get off and
thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Appreciate
very much.
The comments. Thank you very much.
Now, Full Metal Jacket, I don't know how that relates to us. And have you ever seen that movie?
It's a great movie.
It is.
No doubt about
it. The bathroom scene's kind of tough.
Well, I mean, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's just a great movie. Great as far as drill sergeant and
being
and folks, for good friends of mine that have been in Marine Corps, it's true to form of what the Marine Corps was at one time, still is in some way, you know, as far as just the toughness and drill.
Did they shoot some of those scenes at Paris Island, or
I don't know,
in California? There's two Marine bases, right for training, Paris Island, and there's one in California.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but Arlie Ehrman was in that one. He's real. I mean, he was a real drill instructor.
Yes.
He plays the part very
He does.
It's easy to make you want to hate somebody that's just like, you know, but he was a real drill instructor, so he did know a lot. But anyway, back to the great outdoors.
Yes.
Deer season closed January 1st. Our statewide youth day was this past Saturday. Unfortunately, the front we had this past weekend brought a lot of rain and then a lot of wind on Saturday afternoon, which made it very difficult and a slow hunt for most of our youth. On Saturday, a few managed to take some deer, despite the poor hunting conditions, but it was certainly very windy. I had one youth go with me Saturday afternoon, and they did not have any luck. It's just too windy.
Yeah.
When it's blowing 30 miles an hour, it's hard to see it. Deer's not going to come out because they can't smell, and that's their defense mechanism. But waterfowl season, talked about having a few times in some black water swamps with my young kids, or older kids now, shooting wood ducks, having a good time there. But waterfowl season continues through Friday, January 31st. Despite slow conditions across the state, our Category 1 waterfowl areas continue to pick up, and we're seeing some high success rates there. Here's the report from this past week on Category 1 areas. Numbers have really jumped up in the last week, indicated that maybe some ducks have pushed in. But the last week, the top area for the state was Bear Island East with an average of 5.3 ducks per man. The top duck in the bag was green-winged teal with gadwall in a very close second. Blue-winged teal and shovelers tied for third. In a close second with an average of 5.1 ducks per man was the Cape at the Santee Coastal Reserve, a longtime favorite for many waterfowl hunters. The Cape, as a Category 1, has continually been a tremendous area. Little hat goes off there to those folks, our wildlife technicians and biologists there. Been doing a tremendous job bringing that to the Cape back up to where it's going to be a really nice area. Seeing the ducks return there in the last year, this year. The top duck was gadwall with northern shoveler in a close second. Pintails were in third place at the Cape. Very prime duck there. Our third place Category 1 waterfowl area this first week of the year was Cedar Island, also at the Coastal Reserve, with an average of 4.8 ducks per man. The top duck was gadwall again, with northern shovelers in second and American widgeon taking third.
Quick question. So you got these different types of ducks.
Yes.
So when you eat them,
yes,
after you shoot them, prepare them, is there a difference? Does a pintail taste different from a gadwall? From a northern shoveler Is there a difference in the
right
way
there.
They
Let me go ahead and stop you right there. Folks, there are duck hunters across the radio air right now are just grimacing when you said, is there a difference in a shoveler and a pintail? Absolutely, there's a difference.
In the way they taste. So, in the way they taste is
yes,
what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Listen.
You're talking to a guy that's not a duck guy.
Listen and learn. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I asked the question.
So, divers, dabblers being your ducks, your mallards, your pintails. So, diving ducks typically sometimes have a stronger taste. Diving ducks dive down to the bottom. They eat mollusks, clams. Sometimes that'll make their meat a little stronger. But meat's usually pretty succulent. In other words, it's very juicy. It'll take up marinade very well.
Mm-hmm.
Shovelers tend to eat mud a lot.
D.
Exactly. So there you have it. You get, and there's some people may say that shovelers aren't bad, but they typically aren't as good a meat as your pintails, your gadwall. Some people say that gadwall aren't as good as mallards. I mean, mm-hmm. wood ducks are always good. Wood ducks typically eat in the swamps. They're eating acorns. So the meat tastes really good. So is there a real definite difference in the majority of waterfowl species? Probably not. There are some, like shoveler, like the merganser, we call the old Murgatroyd that sticks out, eats fish. That one doesn't taste so good.
Mm-hmm.
But mallards, pintails, gadwall, widgeon, all are going to taste very similar. Duck has a very gamey, it's a dark meat, so it has a little more gamey taste.
Oily.
To it. Well, marinate, you will marinate that. You will marinate it for at least 24 hours mm-hmm. in a good marinade, penetrate and marinate in there,
mm-hmm.
Cajun injectable or something like that.
So if you're cooking up the Downer household, you're cooking up a duck feast.
Yes.
Your choice of duck would be?
That's going to be gadwall, mallard, pintails. I'm going to be happy that I have pintail in the bag, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be excited.
Yeah.
But the meat's pretty good. Ringnecks are good, too, for lots of folks. Ringnecks, the meat's very juicy. It's succulent to me and takes the marinade very well. For the longest time, way back in the early 1900s, the canvasback was king. That was the expensive plate, being around $12 back in the 20s, early 20s, or 8 to teens.
Mm-hmm.
$12 is a lot of money.
Absolutely. 100 years ago.
New York City,
yeah.
Canvasback was king.
Canvasback.
That was a diver, but it was considered to be the king kind of diver. Mm-hmm. A really good tasting bird.
Okay.
And they do taste good. But, mallards, pintails, they're all very similar. The best tasting duck, by far, though, is going to be teal, green-winged teal.
No question.
Green-winged teal is just the best tasting duck there is.
What kind of marinade do you prefer?
So for me, I've got a bunch of guys that I've copied through the years and used some of their marinade, but I really like a marinade. I've used Game Tame. You can get that, which is really a soy-based or a teriyaki-based. So I like a teriyaki marinade with ducks. Marinate the breast in teriyaki, basically just bake the skull teriyaki marinade,
mm-hmm.
teriyaki sauce, 24 hours, and you wrap that duck in bacon, cut your breast down to a smaller size, wrap it in half piece of bacon, put it on the grill, it to about medium.
Mm-hmm.
Can
we do this one night here?
We
in the
can
studio?
Do that.
Yeah.
And then when you take it off the grill,
mm-hmm.
you take a honey and just pop a dab of honey on top that was hot.
Oh.
That honey goes in and just sinks in and mm-hmm. melts, and then eat it within about 5 minutes later. It's mm-hmm. as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a little bit of that salt and sweet to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some other good ones. I've done the Cajun injectable marinade.
I was going to ask you about that.
Creole
yeah.
butter.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. one of my favorites on ducks.
You put that
really
in the duck?
Good. Yeah, inject that in. You mm-hmm. really get a good inject, inject with the injector, inject that in.
Mm-hmm.
Creole butter's a good one. Bacon wrapped, again, most of your game always tastes good with bacon wrapped around it because bacon's going to add that good flavor salt to it. But again, so that's your breakdown on waterfowl. Your third place waterfowl area, again, was Cedar Island. The top duck was gadwall, northern shovelers in second, American widgeon taking a third. So in summary, for the folks, if you wanted to shoot gadwall, you can shoot them pretty much anywhere on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Gadwall have apparently moved in mm-hmm. in the last week or so. If you want to take a pintail, which is a trophy for a lot of people, you don't always get an opportunity to take a nice pintail. Go to the Cape. If you want a widgeon, go to Bear Island West. And we'll talk more after the break.
Deer is done.
Deer's done.
Deer is done.
We'll talk about what else is open.
Okay, we'll do that. It is SC Wild here on Sports Talk with the Major, Billy Downer. 888-898-2525 if you want to reach out to him. Be right back.
Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, we say goodbye to the deer. Until when? When can we go back after the deer?
My old first sergeant, Paul Blackwell, used to say, don't worry, boys, it'll be back in 6 months. Because pretty much in South Carolina, it'd be 6 months from now, it'd be back.
So
August 15th.
August 15th.
For Richland County.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
County.
Deer season's done, but we welcome back other seasons.
Well, so dove season's open all the way from till Thursday, January 30th this year, a little later than last year. So dove season's open now and be open through Thursday, January 30th. Our late goose season will open up February 14th and go through February 29th.
Mm-hmm.
That's to control our resident goose population. Of course, waterfowl season, we already said, continues through Friday, January 31st. A lot of dates there.
Sure.
Rabbit and quail season will remain open through March 1st. Rabbit hunting's become very popular in the last few years. Quail season has always been king, but quail are just pretty much gone. For the most part, except for those that are releasing quail. There are a few out there that really do a good job with quail management. But quail season always ends March 1st, along with rabbit season. Squirrel season, another popular sport with dogs. Taking a fight, mountain fights, tree and fights, tree and cur. Squirrel season's open through March 1st. And then raccoon season will be open through March 15th. Just finished the Grand American in Orangeburg this past weekend. Big coon hunt there.
Mm-hmm.
Raccoon season will be open through March 15th for guns and dogs as well.
All right, 888-898-2525. Back to the phones for Major Downer, Raymond in Barnwell. Welcome in. You're on SC Wild with Major Billy Downer.
Thank you, Phil. Major Downer, I'm Raymond from Barnwell.
Yes, sir. What can we help you with tonight?
I got about a 9-acre tract that I live probably about in the middle of it. But anyway, I've had experience some hunters around me. I watched a deer come through my place, and it's amusement to me to watch them all through the year. But here lately, I've got them coming up to the border of my property and got deer stands pretty close. And my wife, she don't even come out with deer season because she hears the guns go off. How close are they supposed to be to your property like that?
All right, so if the rule on deer hunting is this, if someone owns the property or they lease the property, they can put deer stands on it, and they have to be outside of 300 yards from your residence unless they're 10 feet above the ground, which means they're elevated and they would be shooting down to the ground, would be a backstop. So stands have to be at least 300 yards away unless they're 10 feet above the ground. So if they're elevated to at least 10 feet by the law, they can be on the property, on their property, on the line toward, you know, as far as when I say the line, they can't be on your property, but they can be on the edge of their property. And certainly ethics, we talk about ethics a lot in this game, in hunting, and ethics sometimes leave room for folks to kind of make decisions. But ethically, folks should always place stands where they're shooting away from the property line so they're not shooting a deer that could run onto your property. That's not the right thing to do. But the law says they have to be 10 feet above the ground to be within 300 yards of your house on their property. Again, on their property. Property has the right to hunt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're violating that. In fact, this particular week was about 2 weeks ago, right at the end of the season. They was actually She was sitting on the front porch with my dog, and they had come into my yard and just walked around and walked back into the edge of the woods. Because they've already clear-cut the timber around me.
Sure.
Except for the timber that I own, it's still standing.
Well, let me encourage this. If you have that problem in the future, call 1-800-922-5431, Operation Game Thief, 1-800-922-5431. And we'll have a local officer dispatched out to take a look at that problem.
Thank you, Major. Great stuff. We have enjoyed another edition of SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night.